This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
Tefillah, clear, organized, ordered, it all makes perfect logical sense. Vasher hoyisi tofsoi. The only thing, aleichem, the only point that I could query in you, v'hu mi'ut mash'ani roye b'sfiloseichem b'zikoron ha'ilom habo. The only thing I could come to query in your tefillah is the small extent to which there's any mention of Olam Haba. It would appear that Olam Haba is a central theme to Yiddishkeit, and there's no mention in all the tefillah. We don't ask for it, we don't seem to pay much attention to it. And even that Kfar Heshivei Soni Olav, you've already asked me, you answered me about it. Ki mishuhu mispalel lihidabek ba'ir ha'eloki b'chayov. For one who is davening to cleave to the source of Hashem's energy during his lifetime, ad shehu mispalel lir'oso be'inov, to the point where we are mispalel to see the Ribbono Shel Olam with our own eyes, b'sechezeno einenu b'shuvichol l'tzion, let our own eyes see the Shechina return to Tzion. We actually demand in our tefillahs, we desire in our tefillahs to relate to the Ribbono Shel Olam visually. Which means that we're actually being mispalil for the level of nevuah, of prophecy. And there is no closeness, there is no intimacy with the Ribbono Shel Olam that could be any greater than that. Then we're already, by virtue of that, we are davening for something which is even greater than Olam Haba. V'im yogia elov, yagia el olam habo. Something which, if you manage to achieve, then olam habo comes automatically. So we are davening for a level greater than olam habo, and that, of course, it includes olam habo. Ki mi shedov konafsho b'inyon ha'eluki v'hi terudo b'mikre haguf u'machoivov. For if a person is successful in cleaving to the Ribbono Shel Olam, while he is being distracted by the concerns of the body and his distractions and pains and sufferings, is there any question that he will cleave to the Ribbono Shel Olam when his body has been removed from him, the Teozev Eile, and he is able to leave all these distractions, he's able to abandon all these dirtied kelim in which his soul finds itself over here, and when the neshama is liberated from the body, of course he's going to be cleaving to the Ribbono Shel Olam, if he's even able to cleave to the Ribbono Shel Olam while his body is there.
Liberate the mainframe.
So that's what the Kuzari himself notices, having understood clearly the exposition of the Chover on the nature of the davening and on the content of the davening. He realizes that there's no need to mention Olam Haba, because what we're involved in and what we demand of ourselves in Olam Hazeh is far more than what is demanded of us to get to Olam Haba. And that's essential not only to our tefillah but to the whole style of our religion, where Olam Haba plays such a small part. And here you have the fundamental reason for it, that what we're striving to do in Olam Hazeh requires much more energy than what we're striving to do in Olam Haba. And if we're successful in this, then Olam Haba is automatic. Then what happens? All that happens is the body gets dropped off and you're left in Olam Haba. That is Olam Haba. If a person is living attached to the Ribbono Shel Olam in Olam Hazeh, then when Olam Hazeh cracks away, where is he left? In Olam Haba. That's Olam Haba, is not another place. Olam Haba is just being close to the Ribbono Shel Olam without the physical world distracting. So that's it. So if a person has lived this way, comes death, he casts aside the Olam Hazeh and he's left with the Olam Haba. It's an automatic thing, it's not something that one actually goes to. Omar Hechover Oisifachol Biur Bezeh. Says the Chover, I will explain that even further to you. Hamoshel, and I will give you an example. Odom Sheboel Hamelech, the Kirvo Hamelech, Kurvo Gedoilo. The person who comes to the king and the king is Makarev him a lot, the king is very intimate with him. And the king gives him permission to come to him whenever he wants to. And he was a bit biased with the king. He was frequent at the king's house, the palace. To the point where he could even invite the king to come to his home and to participate in his suuda. And the king would accept the invitation. That's an even greater level. To be invited to the palace, that's already a mile. But when you're able to invite the king and he comes, that's Gorahai Mailah. The Shaleach Elov Sugula Sorov, and he sends him the up top level of his cabinet ministers, for Isa Imu Mashalo Yoisa and Zuloso, and he does for this man what he wouldn't do for anybody else. And it happened once that this man did something by mistake or through carelessness that angered the king, and the king stopped relating so friendly in such a friendly way to him. What then would be the content of his aspirations? His aspirations would now be a return to the way it was. It's once again I should be walking in and out of your house, you should be walking in and out of my house, that you should send me your top level of ministers as it used to be. And the rest of the state, when would they plead to the king? When would they send in petitions to the king? During their normal day-to-day life, they didn't bother, they carried on normally, but when they went on a long distance journey, then they would petition the king, that the king would send with them a group of guards, of policemen, of soldiers, who will guard them from robbers on the way. That's part of the function of the state, is to protect its citizens. So normally everything's fine, they take everything for granted and everything goes well. But when they go on a long journey, then they would appeal to the king to give them extra protection. And they used to trust that the king would fulfill this requirement, and that he would watch over them as they walked. Even though he did not pay any particular attention to them in the city. And everyone, when the group was gathering to start on its journey, everybody boasted to his friend, that the king's going to look after me more than he's going to look after anybody else. Because he says, the gift I brought to the king, nobody else brought. That he's going to pay special attention to me. Or the way I praised the king, the letter I wrote to the king, he's surely going to respond to me more than to anybody else. And this man, who's also now our first fellow, who's now also joining this group of people to go on the trip, he's outside of it all. He doesn't know what they're all talking about. And he doesn't mention anything. And he didn't ask the king for any special protection on the way. And when it came to leave, the people of the town said to him, you're not going to survive this journey. They say to him, you've got no protection. You don't have anybody to protect you. And he said to them, who's protecting you? What do you have that I don't? We have constantly appealed to the king to grant us accompaniment on our journey since we came to this town. We keep on the right side of him, and we ask him always that when we travel he should provide for us protection. That's all we ask of him. And we've never seen you ask for such a thing, so you won't get it. The one who, even when things are secure, appeals to the king. Certainly he's entitled to trust to the king when he's in trouble. I feel him lo yiftach piv b'ze, even if he doesn't specifically mention it. V'hu she'oinehu b'ez ha'shalvo, ha'loiroi lu she'aneh yuse b'ez ha'tzoro. If the king answers me when everything's going well, certainly he'll attend to me when things are a little difficult. And if you claim that he's going to look after you because you exalt him, do you have anybody among you that has accepted upon yourselves the responsibilities that I have? And anybody who exalts him the way I do, and one who has suffered in the observance of his commandments, his instructions to the extent that I have, and anybody who has been careful not to mention his name in a dirty place the way I have, I value his name so much, or anybody that has given honor to his name and to his statutes the way I have, and everything I've done in his, to fulfill his commandments and to study his will, and you exalt him to the best of your ability in terms of your own logic, and he doesn't neglect you, he responds to you, why do you think he might abandon me when, just because I haven't mentioned this specific thing in my mouth? Because I trust in his righteousness in all matters. So the example he's giving is that we don't have to mention Olam Habo specifically. Of course the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to look after us then. It's not just as the Kuzri said that we don't need it, because if we achieve closeness to the Ribbono Shel Olam in this world, then automatically we're going to have it in the world to come. More than that, we do need Hashem's protection after death. But we who place so much attention on observing and preserving the will of the Ribbono Shel Olam every step of the way during our lifetime, what do we think? Hashem's going to abandon us the moment we die just because we haven't mentioned that? We don't have to mention every specific thing, as long as in general we're keeping the Torah carefully, we've been mispalel to the Ribbono Shel Olam, we're meshabeach the Ribbono Shel Olam, and he looks after all our individual needs.
What was the point of the forefront favor?
Of the?
Forefront favor, that he did something.
Because that's our situation. What is the essence of our tefillah? We haven't got time to be mispalel about Olam Haba. At the moment we've got to be mispalel that the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, that the Ribbono Shel Olam Shechina comes back. That's what occupies our mind, all our tefillahs. That's what's important, that we can get back at least to where we were. Once we're there, then we can start talking about Olam Haba. But at the moment, the immediate thing is to get back to that point of intimacy, and all our tefillahs are towards that. We need him to accompany us to Olam Haba as well. Sure, that's taken for granted. What he's saying is that the man who has fallen from favor and strives to get back to that position is no less great than those who've never been in favor. They've never been in favor. They've always had a distant relationship. So all they can ask for, all they can think of is accompaniment on the road. The other fellow is also distant at the moment, but he's temporarily distant, and his craving is to get back to where he was. That's all the king wants from him. That means underneath that there is an intimate relationship. And so we too have to realize that although we're mispadlo just to get back to where we were, underneath that there's an intimate relationship between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Zeh Adim Yoin, says the Chover, Omnam Hu L'Mishi Yisakesh V'Lekibel Divrei Rabbeinu. This moshel that I've given is just for people who are stubborn and haven't received the Kabbalah from Chazal. V'im Loi, but for people who understand things, Hinei Tfiloseinu Kulo Meleus M'Zecher Ha'ilom Habo. If you understand it properly, the tefillahs are full of Olam Haba. V'divrei Rabbeinu shekiblu ma'anavim meleim mehagbolos gan Eden v'gehenum kasher bi'ati l'cho, and all the words of the Nevi'im, all the words of Chazal which have been received through the Nevi'im, are all talk about the concepts of gan Eden and Gehenum, as I've explained in the previous maimer. U'chvasuf sipati l'och ma'asho ise achosid bizmanenu zeh. And I've already explained to you how a chosid lives in our day. How do you think it was at the time that the Beis HaMikdash used to be? Can you imagine how a chosid used to live then? Can you imagine how he used to live in Yerushalayim, in the place of the Ribbono Shel Olam, how a chosid used to live? If this is the way he lives nowadays, can you imagine the level that a chosid achieved in those days? with the Seicha Amahem, and among those people, among the Kohanim and the Levim, Sheshoshim Avrom Yitzchok V'Yakov, where those people whose roots are Avrom Yitzchok V'Yakov, V'Hem Segulosom, Mutboim Alatznius Anoshim V'Noshim, people who were entrenched in Tznius, men and women, Yerushalayim in those days, or the Kohanim, the Levim, the Talmidei Chachomim, the whole lifestyle was one of Tznius. In Avlo Bilshonoisom, not a bad thing was heard on their tongues. They never said a bad word, a nibul perchat v'sholem, a loshon hora, a sheker. They never heard such a thing. Imagine living in a society where you're never ever exposed to an unpleasant word. Ve'achosid beinehem, and our chosid lives among these people. Mizdakech, purifying him. Ve'inafshui mislachleches bedivrei hanavolo sheyishmo yisom mehem. And his soul does not have the opportunity to become defiled from unclean words which one sometimes hears. The ein natlis begufui v'nitlis begufui v'gadov tumas zivos v'nidos usherotzim umesim v'tzoras v'zulaze. And there isn't attached neither to his body nor to his begodim any form of tumor which we're constantly in contact with. The tumor of zivus and nidus and shrotzim and mesim and tzoras. We can't keep ourselves away from that, but he never comes into contact with that in those days. Bavusha yudvekim b'kedusha v'taro, because they used to cleave to kedusha and taro. V'chol shechein misho yoshechein b'ir ashchino, and how much more so one who used to live in the ir ashchino in Yerushalayim. Ve'inenu pogea ki im kisu yisal madrigus ha'kedusha. And the only people, groups of people he ever associated with were people who had reached high levels of kedusha, mikanim, ulevim, unazirim, v'chachomim, v'shoftim, v'shoitrim. Who used to be in Yerushalayim? Who would you meet there in Yerushalayim? Oyire hamoin choygeg bekol rino v'soida b'sholish pomim b'shana. And when did he meet the hamoin am? When did he meet the masses? 3 times a year, Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos. And what were the masses doing? They were bringing korban chagigas with the korino. They were singing and bringing korban tido 3 times a year on Yom Tov. That was the only time he came into contact with them. Ve'inenu shemea ki im shir Hashem. All that he heard in his ears, the background sound, the background music in which he operated was the shirim of the Levim, the shirim of the tishbochus of the Beis Hamikdash. V'loi roye ki meleches Hashem. And all he saw was people busy with Meleches Hashem in Yerushalayim in those days. You would go around, you didn't see businesses and things like that. You didn't see tradesmen very much. What you saw were Kohanim, Levim, scurrying about their business, getting things ready. People bringing korbanos, taking korbanos, changings of the shifts on the harabais. That was all the activity in Yerushalayim. When one realizes this description, then you realize how false it is. You know, you have the people who say that the meaning of Tisha B'Av has been belittled, because after all, to talk about Ha'ir, Ha'bezuyo, as we do in the Tfilis of Tisha B'Av, why is it Ir Ha'bezuyo? We've got Yerushalayim back, and it's not an Ir Ha'bezuyo anymore, it's not an Ir Ha'shvelo anymore, it's a wonderful city again, to the extent that they wrote, you know, in that book of Kinnis that we've got, there's that new passage which has been written for Nachem by the author of those kinnis, which to the extent that most people ban that sefer of kinnis, because it's such apikousis to write a special tefillah for Nachem. How can one think of Yerushalayim not as an Ir HaBezuyo and an Ir HaShvelo when you see what Yerushalayim is supposed to be? We're not talking about the buildings and the streets and the fact that we've got the old city again. That's not what we mean when we talk about an Ir HaBezuyo and an Ir HaShvelo. Compare this description of Yerushalayim to Yerushalayim today. Stand on the corner of Rehov Melech George and Rehov Yafo and see to what extent what you're seeing ties up with this description of Yerushalayim, and then have a look at the tefillah of Nachem and think whether it's appropriate or not. It's more bezuyo and shvelo than it's ever been before. Goyim don't make it bezuyo and shvelo. That's what the Natura Karta taina, and there's emes in what they taina. Goyim aren't metamin. Goyim can walk over Yerushalayim. That doesn't cause tumor. When Yerushalayim was in non-Jewish hands, it was tragic because it was in non-Jewish hands. Chas v'sholem, we should never go back to such a thing. But the fact that it's in Jewish hands doesn't remove it from the status of being bozui v'shofel. It makes it more bozui v'shofel. That you've got Yidden walking there, doing the things there. That's terrible. That's the bizoyin of Yerushalayim, that we are there and haven't been able to elevate it to a level of Kedusha. That's the tragic thing. This is what Yerushalayim is supposed to be. The Chofshim are very worried in Eretz Yisrael that Yerushalayim is turning into a religious city. They're very worried about the demography. The numbers are becoming significant, and the religious people are beginning to impose their will, and it's more and more difficult to ignore them. Whether it's cinemas on Friday night, or whether it's the way people go dressed, and all, it's becoming, it used to just be in the little Meir Shorim, and the Chofshim could handle that. But all you had to watch out for was Meir Shorim. It's now spreading all over the town, and you've got Chofshim complaining that they can't walk without, they can't drive without a conscience anywhere in Yerushalayim anymore. And after all, this is the capital city, and what right have the Haredim got to turn the capital city into a religious city? But that's what it's meant to be. You want to be Mechal HaShabbos, you should be in Chutz La'aretz altogether. You want to be in Eretz Yisrael, what can we do? Can't throw you out. We go to Tel Aviv. Don't need to be in Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is in Irak Kodesh. So don't make the capital Yerushalayim. Let the capital be Tel Aviv like the world wants. So what? Who says the capital must be Yerushalayim? It's much more important that Yerushalayim should be Irak Kodesh. That's important. That in Halacha is there. It doesn't say Yerushalayim must be the capital. In Malchus Beis David it will be the capital. But a political capital today, there's no din that it has to be Yerushalayim. You can make it Tel Aviv just as well. It doesn't make any difference. But that Yerushalayim should be an Ir HaKodesh, that yes. That is a requirement. It should move in that direction. The Chol Shechinim Yiyeh Kohen Levi, and can you imagine the Chosid not only being a Chosid living in Yerushalayim, but imagine the Chosid being a Kohen or a Levi. Yichye mi lechem Hashem. What does he eat? What does he live on? Everything he eats is lechem Hashem. He lives on the korbanos. The oimed beveis Hashem in the urov kishmuel, and he's raised, he's brought up in the beis hamikdash and its environment. Can you imagine such a person? We've described the chosid in our day. Imagine, he says, a chosid who goes to Yerushalayim. Imagine a chosid who lives in Yerushalayim. Now imagine a chosid who lives in Yerushalayim and is a kohen or a levi. He doesn't have to be mispalil for parnosa. Can you imagine that? When you're davening, not to have to be mispalil for parnosa. You don't have to worry about that. That's taken care of with the trumas and the maestros. Who misasik ba'avedas Hashem kol yomov. And all you do the whole day and all you have to worry about is avedas Hashem. Ma'ata sovu b'ma'asiyu v'zakus nafshu v'tikun ma'asiyu. What do you think about such a person? The deeds that he does. The purity of his neshama. The perfection of his deeds. Can you imagine such a being? That's how Yerushalayim. When we mispalil for a return to the old days of Yerushalayim, that's what we want. It's not just that the building of the Beis Hamikdash we want. We want the production of such people for which the Beis Hamikdash is a precondition. But that's the important thing, is to have Yirei Shamayim of this stature wandering around the streets of Yerushalayim. When one goes to Yerushalayim, imagine then if you took off 2 weeks and you went to Yerushalayim. And you remember a long time ago I gave a shiur on the whole idea of Maisa Sheni, the idea of Maisa Sheni, of going to Yerushalayim, of spending that income in Yerushalayim, what the purpose was to go and see and to have contact with these people. The Shemitah year. The Shemitah year was you left the towns and the villages and you went to Yerushalayim, spent the year in Yerushalayim. Imagine rubbing shoulders for a few months or for an entire year with this kind of atmosphere, what one comes away with. That's what we mean when we mispalel v'techezeinu einenu b'shuvchol etziyin b'Yerushalayim iruchol barachamim toshuv. That's what we want. Not just the building of a Beis Hamikdash. This is what we want. That there should be this kind of stature of society in Yerushalayim to which we have access, to which we can expose ourselves, to which we can expose our children, and then we'll see what kind of effect this will have on all of us. And the Kuzuri says, Zois madregas hatachlis. That's the absolute in human achievement. One step more than that and you're on to the level of angels. That's the highest level that you can imagine a human being getting. And it is correct that we should trust for Nevua and for the achievement of all this, certainly the Shechina being there. And such should be the avodas Hashem, that one doesn't have to detach oneself from life. This should be life. What I want you to explain to me next is a little bit about the Karaites. Because I see the Karaites Frume than the Rabbonim. The Karaites were the ones who used to follow the strict letter of the Torah Shebichtav, without Torah Shebaalpeh. They're very frum. And they seem to be much more involved in their religion than our people. And if you ask me, he says, when you look at the psukim, the way they interpret the psukim looks much more logical than the way you people do with the Torah Shebaalpeh. So can you explain to me your relationship and your approach to the claims of the Karaites, which he'll do in his session next week? Sorry?